website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. It's our joy, delight as we come to you, and we invite you to join in the discussion. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. That telephone number goes directly through to the studios right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issues each and every day. We're talking about today, open mic. I've had a number of people down through the months saying, why don't you just let us talk about different issues? And so we've got an open mic today. Immediately after a brief monologue, we're going to invite you to call in. What's on your mind? What's on your heart? We can talk about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues. You can ask your Bible questions, your doctrinal questions, theological questions. You can ask your questions about what some call political issues. No such thing. It's a biblical issue. We can talk about civil government until Jesus comes. It's still a biblical issue, not a political issue. We put it in the category of politics because of what we've been pushed into the norm of believing based on societal thought, and especially in today's woke society. But ladies and gentlemen, if we talk about issues in relationship to the church, the home, the family, government, any of those issues, ladies and gentlemen, fall under the category of central biblical beliefs and system. It's having a central biblical worldview that counts. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The Bible, the truth book, John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Scripture says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that we depend upon. Ladies and gentlemen, 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this we know, in the last days perilous times shall come. Now notice it didn't say perilous times may come, or perhaps will come, or by and by will come. It says perilous times shall come. The word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult. And we're in those days, ladies and gentlemen. When you go to Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, you find the eschatological text in the Scripture in particular in those areas, talking about the signs of the last days. What do we see taking place? We're seeing them come together as no other time in the history of the world. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I see things taking place in the Middle East, when I see things taking place in Russia, China, and the threats to America and the threats to the world by some of those nations, because you see China and Russia all play a part in the final days leading up to the end of this world as we know it today. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, I encourage you to recognize that the Bible is the final authority. It is the truth book, and yet we have those today that will deny the truth and reject the truth. And it, by the way, it falls into line. The secularist George Orwell, in his publication called 1984, published a latter portion of the 40s, 47, 48, 49, he said in that dystopian novel the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I believe that's to be truthful today, is to hate those who speak the truth. If you don't believe that, just watch what's happening in D.C. Just look at what happened yesterday with the Hunter Biden sweetheart deal. How it fell apart when truth came out. But yet truth is denied, rejected, repulsed by so many today. We find it to be so because we're in the last of the last days. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warned that the death of truth, the decline of truth, is linked on what is happening in the church today. Let me read you a very prominent paragraph out of his article. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, he wrote. And ladies and gentlemen, that couldn't be further from the truth. It is closer to the truth, that is, because he's exactly right. We find today, even among Christian denominations, Christian churches, there's a battle over truth. There's a battle over truth. And yet we need to understand that there's a vast divergence of what is truth. For example, 55%, that's 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. But I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, John Huss. John Huss says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. I commend that to you each and every day. That's a mantra of mine that I believe we need to adhere to. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we indeed are living in the last of the last days. And identify that with the fact that truth is despised, truth is hated. Yet in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture said the truth of the Lord endures forever. And so I commend the truth book to you, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is that Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful benchmark there. Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing on a 165-foot flagpole high, high in the sky. Find that flag in the flagpole. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordains it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we'll open our mics and allow you to call and discuss whatever's on your mind. Open mic today. But let me simply say this. With an open mic, normally I decide what we're going to talk about and kind of guide it in that direction. But because so many have asked about how about having an open mic session, we're going to talk about Bible theological doctrinal truth. We'll talk about some of the issues that's taking place today. For example, we can discuss Biden's attack on Christians. via his policies and regulations, the DOJ and the FBI and the CIA, IRS and the DHS, et cetera, et cetera. We could talk about the Hunter Biden sweetheart deal. It fell apart. Why did it fall apart? Was it good or bad? What about Biden's plan for future pandemics? Did you know that Joe Biden has already set up a permanent pandemic, I call it pandemic, office of pandemic? Did you know that? That's been quietly done. Why would you set up a permanent office of pandemic? Is there something we don't know? Are they planning something that we're not aware of for the fall or for days in the future? What about this? Did Fauci know that masks did not work while enforcing mask mandates for 2-3 years? What about the Christian boycotts that's taking place? Are they working? Should we continue with them? And I could go on and on and on with the potential discussions that we could have today. It's an open mic. You set the pace. We talk about it. We're going to talk about it from a central biblicist standpoint. Whatever we talk about, we're going to look at it under the microscope of how does it affect the Christians? What should we do from the Christian standpoint? Should we allow it to modulate, modify, or change our Christian view, our perspective? Multitudes, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, are doing that because of the woke culture and the woke society and what's being said and done. Multitudes of Christians, churches, denominations are embracing things like the Sodomite lifestyle because they do not want to be laughed at, jeered at, mocked at by the woke culture. Is that what God would have us to do? Or should we continue to stand for truth regardless of what takes place? I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing very well looking at that. I got to give the judge a kudos because I thought there was going to be a ringer in there. You know what I mean? Because he couldn't get prosecuted for anything else. They still haven't got that laptop yet because I know his daddy had to know what he was doing. I think it was China Sense. So, well, we want to talk to the big man. That's when he was vice president under Obama. And on the laptop, and some rhinos in the Republican Party are they crazy. I say it like that. And on top of that, Dr. Youngblood, they have evidence, but the Republicans will not go and go ahead and say, hey, give us the laptop. The FBI, the CIA, the three-digit numbers and letters. God is on the throne because I thought this was going to throw a ringer in there, a judge that was going to say he can't get prosecuted for anything else.
Well, that's what they were attempting to do, Kenneth, and you're touching on that. You see, part of his plea bargain was that he would have immunity for any future charges. And when the judge asked the question, is he still under investigation? Biden, Hunter Biden's own attorney said, yes, ma'am, that he's still under investigation. She said, if he's still under investigation with future charges possible, why should I sign this? Because it gives blanket immunity for everything. And in his plea deal that he thought he was going to get handed to him on a golden platter, in his plea deal, there was the offer of signing off on it by saying, I'm guilty, pleading guilty to all of the charges. So once the judge saw through the sham and she rejected the plea deal, immediately he entered a plea of not guilty, not guilty. So I'm thankful that that took place. I'm thankful that the judge, by the way, now they're claiming the loose, lax, lost liberals on the left are now claiming that the plea deal fell apart because the judge happens to be a Donald J. Trump appointee. So because it's a Trump-appointed judge, all of a sudden the judge made a wrong decision, not the fact that it was a wretched deal that they tried to pull the wool over the eyes of the judge. So I'm thankful that that took place, Kenneth. I'm thankful that the judge saw through that. I pray today that somehow, some way, as you alluded to, that all the facts and the details and information about Hunter Biden's laptop, by the way, the FBI, the DOJ had that laptop since September 2019. They tried to prevent it from coming forth. Then once it was made known that it's out there, all of a sudden they claimed that it was Russian disinformation. In fact, the clandestine approach was to smother it by calling it Russian disinformation. And they had 51, might have been 52, I think it was 51 so-called intelligence, present and former intelligence agents, individuals that signed off on it, that they knew for a fact that it was Russian disinformation. And now that it's been proven that that's not the case at all, none of those 51 have guts, backbone, or spine, or tenacity to stand up and say, we were wrong, we lied. They're still holding to the fact that somehow, some way, it was Russian disinformation. So, Kenneth, I think that it's from the Christian standpoint, the conservative standpoint, from what I would call a central biblicist standpoint, we need to say we're thankful that God is still on the throne, that God is still in charge, that God is still in control of what's happening in this old world. If that were not the case, I'd not want to get up of a morning. What are your thoughts on that statement?
Yes, I'm going to say one more thing. How can, now the prosecutor, you're going to make a deal with his lawyer to slap his hand. A prosecutor is supposed to get the evidence and go with it. And they went in the back room or whatever and made a deal with each other.
Well, now, Kenneth, you hit the nail right on the head, because you see, in any prosecutorial adversarial court case, be where the prosecutor is taking one stand, the defense is taking the other stand. And in this case, we find the prosecutor out of the DOJ, of all things, took the same side as the defense attorney, and they colluded. They made a deal with the devil, as I'd call it, to simply try to have Hunter Biden's case thrown out. Because here's the point, Kenneth. They know that this is not the end of the game. This is the reason they had in the plea deal, the bargain deal, the sweetheart deal, that he would be have immunity from any future charges, because they know that it's all coming out. And keep in mind, if that had been signed off by the judge, there would be no way to get into Hunter Biden's laptop and tie in Joe Biden, Jim Biden, Jill Biden, and the Biden family cabal could not have been tied into it. It would have been the closed door on any future prosecutorial evidential cases that could be made. And we know right now. We know now that Joe Biden is guilty of treason against the United States of America. That's my hang-up. That's my problem.
Yes, sir.
Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call, your insight, and your spot on with your analysis of that. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, it's open mic today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. You name the topic, the subject, we'll talk about it. You can ask your biblical questions, theological, doctrinal questions. You can make your comments in relationship to what we see taking place. How about the fact that we're about to enter into digital currency? How does that play into the Christian life and what happens with Christians in society today? We could talk about the attack that Biden has on Christians. I'm looking at a headline article. Joe Biden proposes even more restrictions on prayer in the schools. A new plan for the Biden administration to update the guidance regarding prayer in the public schools means a crackdown on that activity, Decision Magazine with Franklin Graham. A fact that a lawyer for the ADF, which has fought multiple court cases regarding student speech in schools, warned that the new Biden plan appears to be suggesting that schools have to purge out all religious messages from Christians and any Christian speech in the schools in any way, in every way, to control the students' free speech. So, ladies and gentlemen, do you think that's a good idea? Should we have the free speech? Listen, here's the bottom line from my perspective. If you go into a classroom, whether it's kindergarten or high school, if you go into a classroom, if it's university, college level, or whatever the area is, when you walk into the classroom, do you lose your religious liberties and your freedom of speech? Do you lose it simply because you walk in the classroom? And that's the mindset somehow today, that if you walk into a public classroom, it's considered federal property, and so therefore on federal property, you can't talk about Jesus. Yet they have satanic clubs, but you can't have a Christian club, a Bible club. in most public schools today. Why is that so? What is the cause of that? Looking at another headline, Biden has declared war on conservative Christians. The Democrats want fundamental transformation of America. Well, they're planning on purging Christians and all Christian speech from public life and abolishing religious freedom as we know it today. And he goes on to use the illustration. In the primetime speech on Thursday at Philadelphia Independence Hall, Biden doubled down on Democrats' latest attack line, declaring his public opposition and his opponents now, are intolerable threats to America. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden says that you as a Christian, that I as a Christian, that we are an intolerable threat to America. That gives you a little idea of where we're going in America today as far as the Christian is concerned, conservatives. Look at a headline. State taken to court for its apparent hatred for Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, more and more of that's taking place in America. How should we then live? What should we do? What ought to be our response to that? Should we just continue to embrace whatever comes down the pike in relationship to the Biden administration? I believe the Biden administration has proven that it is the most intolerant administration in the history of America when it comes to Christians, Christian faith, and the family and our freedoms. We found more denigration, disintegration, and infringement on our Bill of Rights under the Biden administration than any other combination of presidencies or administrations in the history of America. Going back to what Kenneth was talking about a moment ago with the Hunter Biden deal, I'm looking at a gigantic headline. Hunter Biden pleads not guilty as the plea deal falls apart during the Delaware court appearance. The DOJ prosecutor said Hunter Biden is currently under investigation. Ladies and gentlemen, I laugh at that because it's the DOJ pinheads that admitted in court that Hunter Biden is still under investigation. That's what unzipped the whole deal. That's what deflected the whole deal. That's what ruined the whole deal with the judge. This article says, Hunter Biden's plea deal fell apart during the first court appearance Wednesday morning and pleaded not guilty as federal prosecutors confirmed the president's son is still under federal investigation. The president's son, they keep using that term rather than Hunter Biden, the president's son was expected to plead guilty to two misdemeanor tax counts of willful failure to pay federal income tax as part of a plea deal to avoid jail time on the felony gun charges. But Judge Marilyn Nortek did not accept the plea agreement, questioning the constitutionality, specifically the diversion clause and the immunity clause for Hunter Biden, end quote. Hunter Biden was also expected to enter into a pretrial diversion agreement regarding a separate felony charge on possession of a firearm by a person who is unlawfully using and involved in indicted by controlled substances. This article says the judge pressed federal prosecutors on the investigation and questioned whether there was the possibility for future charges, and asked prosecutors if Hunter Biden was currently under active investigation. Prosecutors said he was, but would not answer, refused to answer the judge on specifically what the son, president's son, is under investigation for. I found that telling. We have the DOJ prosecutors that have to admit in the courtroom that Hunter Biden is still being investigated. When the judge says, listen, the judge says to the Department of Justice prosecutors, what is he being investigated for? They refused to answer, said they could not say, would not admit, would not talk about it. The article says at that point, the original plea deal broke down. Defense attorney Chris Clark said he did not agree with that. Quote, then there's no deal at all. Clark countered, as far as I'm concerned, the plea deal is null and void, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, there is hope at the end of the tunnel, light at the end of the tunnel, when we see that potentiality and what is taking place there. That telephone number, by the way, is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. 0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. Now, the question comes to my mind, do we have any of the Democrats that feel that somehow, some way, Joe Biden is guilty of treason? Do we have any of the Democrats, the loose likes, lost liberals, the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Party known as the Democrats, do we have any of them that has any idea that Joe Biden is guilty? I'm sure. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the latest number, this was 2 weeks ago, an article that I scanned, said 68% of the Democrats wanted someone other than Joe Biden to be the candidate for the Democratic Party. We understand that behind the scenes, there's some kind of manipulation and negotiation going on to remove Joe Biden. But the thing that's so comical to me is the entire Democratic Party is embarrassed by the vice president, Kamala Harris. They're embarrassed by her. They do not want her to be president. So they're petrified about doing anything to remove Joe Biden because they know that that would be the one. So I've said for 2.5 years now that Joe Biden will not be the actual official candidate when it comes to November 2024. I don't know the exact details of how they will do it, but I believe they're going to remove Kamala Harris. I believe they'll decide that Joe Biden's going to run in his reelection with a different vice president. They'll replace Kamala Harris. Then they'll replace Joe Biden and take that appointed person in the VP slot and make president and let that one be the one that's running for president on the Democratic ticket. I believe that's where it's headed. But I find it refreshing when Robert Kennedy Jr., that's running for president, he is hard to listen to because of his voice impediment, but he's on target with some of the things that he says. Listen to this headline. RFK Jr. now calling for an investigation of Joe Biden for corruption. Evidence of alleged corruption by Joe Biden has been piling up for years already. The claims of bribes and other huge transfers of money that could be payoffs, the financial details with American detractors around the globe, and more. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., candidate for the Democratic nomination for president 2024, is now demanding an investigation into the possible corruption by Joe Biden. Kennedy's request was prompted by the release last week of the FBI report that alleges that Biden was part of a $10 million bribery scheme involving Ukraine company that hired his son Hunter, according to the report. Recently, a document that the FBI has had and concealed for years shows the confidential human source reported that the company reportedly paying Hunter Biden and Joe Biden $5 million each to make a corruption investigation go away. Well, Joe Biden himself had already been videotaped where he was bragging on national news that he said that the $1 billion of aid to Ukraine would not go forth until the Ukrainians fired the prosecutor. And they were doing that to protect and cover what was happening with Hunter Biden. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that there's a major, major, major factor today that's going to have to be dealt with. And I don't know exactly how it's going to be dealt with, but I think we're going to see major tectonic changes in what we call the political race for president coming up in the next 12 to 18 months at the very most. What about Biden's plans, ladies and gentlemen? Another question that I need to ask you. What about his plans for the future pandemics? I touched on it earlier. Did you realize Biden's already set up a pandemic department? He's had it set up a director for future pandemics. Why is that so? Does he know something we don't? Does he know that there's coming a pandemic? How is it going to happen? What's going to take place? Ladies and gentlemen, these statements, these questions, and multitudes of others, open mic today for you to decide what we talk about. Let me remind you, we're going to take the 1 minute top of the hour news. Right after the news, we're coming back with open mic. You make the determination of what we talk about. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. More questions over President Biden's knowledge of and possible role in his son's overseas business affairs. The White House response only fueling more speculation and raising more questions. Hunter Biden's legal team and federal prosecutors will be back in court in a month. It follows yesterday's stunning collapse of a plea deal to settle tax evasion and gun charges against the presidential son. If you've been to the gas station lately, you know what's happening with fuel prices. It's not healthy for your pocketbook. Prices on the rise. Oil industry experts attribute it to a lack of oil supply. It's been a shakeup in the DeSantis campaign organization. Politico reports GOP presidential hopeful Ron DeSantis has fired more than a third of his campaign staff amid sagging poll numbers. Stocks opening higher this morning on Wall Street. This is SRN News.
Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me simply jump in at this point and make an announcement. I fail to do it often, but I don't know if you're aware of it or not. You can go to the website, fcbcatjax.com. That's fcbcatjax.com. Go down to radio and you can pull up the daily radio broadcast that we do. You can pull those up for about the last 10 years and find whatever day you want to listen to, re-listen to it. You can transmit it to others around the globe that they can be blessed and benefited from the daily radio broadcast. So we invite you to take your cell phone, your handheld device, for everybody that you have in there, friends, relatives, neighbors, and acquaintances, send them the link, ilovethetruth.com. ilovethetruth.com, the radio network that we're on. You can pull up the daily radio broadcast in the blog form and listen to that, send it to others. Or you can go to fcbcatjax.com and go down to the section that says radio, and you can scroll down and find hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of the opportunities to let others tune in. So send that to them today. That's a way of broadening the base of what we're doing. If what we say each day is a blessing and a benefit, informational and educational for you, let others know. They can tune in and listen around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take our next caller, looking at the headline says, disturbing new revelations shows the FBI spying on you. Just on the early morning news, one of the commentators said that when they were interviewing a distinguished person out of the previous administration under Donald J. Trump, asked about this, what was taking place with the FBI's Section 702 surveillance on the general public, and said that millions of Americans had been spied on. This article says that they have previously admitted 275,000 Americans that have been spied on. The FBI Bureau of Federal Intelligence, the Federal Bureau of Intelligence, FBI, carried out improper surveillance on multitudes of governmental officials and individuals. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, that's the FISA, F-I-S-A, issued an opinion stating that the FBI improperly used their powers granted under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act to gather information on unnamed United States senators and the general public. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in total violation of our Fourth Amendment. This Section 702, the surveillance responsibility, is granted under the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was a knee-jerk response to 9/11 that the former president George Bush had instituted. It was the knee-jerk operation that we need to do something to give us advanced information. But the feds, Christopher Wray, director of the FBI, and the federal government, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, using that to eavesdrop on you and me and every other citizen in America at will. And according to our Fourth Amendment, they need to get a warrant specifying what they're looking for, where they're looking for it, what they intend to do with it. And that's not being done. They're just willy-nilly, if I can use that term, searching out, listening to our conversations and what we're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's federally illegal. I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go over the question and comment, please.
Well, you were touching on the information just before the break about Biden putting together the pandemic team and putting I believe it's a retired Air Force guy in charge of it, who had spent some time working alongside NATO, and he's a globalist himself. So he rose up through the ranks by doing exactly as he was told, according to a globalist agenda. So they are telegraphing to us to
your phone is cutting on and off and going out.
Okay.
That's better, yes.
But they put together the Biden has put together the office of the pandemic, so he can continue what we've already seen in the last couple of years with the declaring of a national emergency in order to force compliance and mandates. What's the name of this thing he's put together? It's called the Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Response Policy, which is what I would say is signaling the next round of medical martial law. According to the article, it gets a little bit of background of what we've experienced in the last couple of years and how informed consent of the supposed vaccinations was not given, and they were given an immunity. Not a person's immunity medically, but they gave immunity to the pharmaceutical companies. And then the article goes on down to say that by declaring this particular agency, they will continue to hold control and on a military type level of what will happen during the next pandemic. And Gates has already bragged that we're going to have another pandemic, and it will be a different pathogen than before. Interesting how he knows these things in advance, kind of like the Event 201 that Bill and Melinda Gates put on in New York City in 2019, describing how they would respond to the pandemic that had not happened yet. Interesting. But the guy in the article goes on to say that the medical martial law that will come next time will also be tied to your electronic or digital identification, and it's going to be tied to your digital currency. I thought it was very interesting. He saw the stars line up like that. He said, and the last quote here was, COVID-2020-2021 was a valuable test run launched by the globalists to see how many people would accept their new normal of 24/7 surveillance mandated and repeated mRNA vaccines, restrictions on travel, speech, assembly, religious practices, and all purchases. He says, wash, rinse, repeat. The first round was successful beyond the globalist wildest dreams in conditioning people for the coming beast system. They won't be able to resist the second round. The question is when, not if. It touches on all the subjects.
So, Glenn, let me ask you a question. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Glenn Youngblood, one of our four sons, retired law enforcement. Glenn, from the perspective of what we have seen with the plandemic and the forced martial law, without calling it martial law, enforcing where we go, what we could do, must wear a mask, must be social distance, must stay in. Pastors were arrested because of having church services. Church members were arrested for even singing out on the parking lots of some of the church services. Do you foresee that being replayed? Is that what you're saying? That'll be, could very well be replayed in America this fall. I'm looking at an article, and I'll say this and then let you answer. New potentially dangerous MERS COVID-V case reported as WHO, WHO continues to monitor the situation. World Health Organization has announced that it has already discovered a case of potentially fatal respiratory syndrome coronavirus, MERS, MERS-CoV, which infects people as well as animals. A 24-year-old man tested positive for this in the United Arab Emirates, according to the officials in the Middle Eastern country, who stated in its news release this week that it was notified of the case. The patient was admitted to the hospital. And it goes on with a five-page article taking one case, extrapolating forward, and talking about how dangerous it's going to be. In fact, Dr. Tedros, which is not a doctor at all, not a physician, not a medical doctor, head of the World Health Organization, has already announced this fall that we would have another pandemic with a virus more dangerous and more deadly than COVID-19. Now, do you believe that the Biden administration is part of the co-opting and the planning to perpetrate that on America for further surveillance, for further control? And if that is what you believe, do you believe that it is something that is a globalist mindset, and will we as Americans fall for it?
Well, that was a four-level question. Jump around that.
I'm guilty. I can't help it.
I think the correct answer was yes, yes, I think so, and yes. But to accurately try to answer that, isn't it interesting that they keep working on things that would be disastrous if they had a uh-oh, okay? We finally have come to the conclusion that Wuhan, China was where our COVID virus was released, even though we know we started developing it here, and then it went through the channels for it to be exported there, and then China weaponized it and released it. Well, if you know that your current president is taking money from the Chinese government and other governments, okay, to fall in compliance with what foreign nations want to do, it's not a far stretch to see how one hand is washing the other. Even when you touched on the Burisma thing with Hunter Biden and the corruption of Hunter Biden and how it ties back to his father, the big guy, where the money was going, the 10%, the kickback, and even President Biden, vice president at the time, was bragging about the fact that he had gotten the prosecutor fired. You used the term even treason. The definition of treason is what? Giving aid and comfort to the enemy. And it has been done. It has been done. It is being done. What would you do as an individual if your health or the health of your loved one was on the line? You do whatever you had to do and jump through the hoops that you have to jump through and pay whatever price it would take for that healing, for that medical attention. Well, if you're invested in the pharmaceutical companies and you create the disease and the cure, you got them. You got them. It's kind of like manufacturing the weapons and then starting the war, isn't it? Follow the money. in investigations for fraud, you follow the money. Where does it go? Who got it? Who got rich? Who got rich when everyone else suffered? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Glenn, I'm of the opinion, and you give me your input and observation, I'm of the opinion that whatever we're faced with in the near future from World Health Organization by way of so-called pandemic is going to be inextricably linked to what they're calling climate change. I'm looking at the headlines from Hillsdale College on the MPRIMS newsletter. It says, thinking smartly about climate change. In a recent survey of Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development countries, i.e. the rich countries in the world, about 60% of the respondents said they believe that global warming will likely or very likely lead to the end of mankind. This is the result of the fact that a lot of conversation around global warming is vastly exaggerated. UN Secretary General said this, many Western leaders, including the current administration in the U.S., tend toward the end of the world point of view. The world is, in fact, is in grave climate emergency. Every week brings new climate-related development and does devastation, floods, droughts, heat waves, weather, wildfires, superstorms. We're in the battle for our lives. Climate change is the biggest threat to the global economy and health. These claims are echoed endlessly by the media. But here's the point. This article says, how many people die overall as a result of climate because of floods, droughts, storms, wildfire, and extreme temperatures? In the 1920s, about 500,000 people died each year on the average due to climate. Looking at the average in subsequent decades, the number fluctuates quite a bit from year to year. There's been a dramatic decline. In the 2010s, the average number of people dying each year as a result of climate was 18,000. And in 2022, that number dropped to about 11,000. This downward trend doesn't fit the alarmist narrative, so of course, we never hear about that, end quote. So the question is, do you believe that the hue and cry of climate change, and WHO's already said it is a global health emergency, that is, climate change. You believe that will play into it, is what they are planning for America in some forced shutdown, lockdown, and control of Americans again?
Absolutely. We're already seeing it. Was it New York that restricted gas ovens? They emptied our oil reserves. Sold some of it to China, as a matter of fact. That was so interesting. Depleting our oil reserves, and then they blame the high gas prices on the fact that we have not enough reserves or not enough production. Interesting. It's a squeeze. It's a great big squeeze, and they'll attribute it to climate change. You remember, I guess it was in the 70s, we were all going to freeze to death. And then in the 90s, we've got about the hole in the ozone layer. We don't talk about that anymore. The hole in the ozone layer, because DuPont had lost the patent had run out for Freon, and so they came out with something else they wanted to market, and they wanted Freon off the market because it was, creating a hole in the ozone layer, all the things that they can blame on the climate, right? We're destroying the world. And then we were all going to burn up. They said by 2012, it'd just be so intolerable that, we would be dying because it'd be too hot. The end of the world was coming. What was the little girl's name? How dare you? Greta, is it Thunberg?
Thunberg.
Right. Apparently, in the last month or two, we were celebrating the fact that her predictions were wrong, too. they make a lot of money. They make a lot of money peddling this false narrative. And then the date has to keep moving because it is a false narrative. Some of it, they are actually creating the panic themselves by putting people in a position where we will be affected. All right. Right now, they have restricted the grain coming out of Ukraine, considered the breadbasket. I didn't know until I did a little research last year. In the Ukraine, it's been known for decades that they make so much, they harvest so much there, they export to all of Europe. Well, now they've cut off transport of that food by water. They've cut off transport of the food across land because the European Union countries are saying, oh, no, they're hurting the farmers in our area, so they're not going to let them transport the grain. Well, what's the end result? It's called starvation. It's called famine. We're going to blame that on climate change? Or do we blame it on Putin? Who do we blame this on? All right. But they'll point the finger back at climate change. We're actually more susceptible to freezing than burning up, by the way. More people die when it's cold than when it's hot. They don't talk about that. Interesting. But when they couldn't say we were going to freeze, and then we were going to burn up, so they just call it climate change. And then the scientists, oh, yeah, the science has already been proven. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's climate change. If you disagree with that narrative, you're going to be censored, all right, because they're going to use all of this against us in order to keep us from using a gas or oil-powered vehicle, put everybody on the line for electric, electric, electric. And then when the electric grid goes down, oops, right, then you will be exposed to climate, whether it's hot or cold. Firewood is unavailable. I think it was in Germany. Whatever they're going to be using for this coming winter has already been purchased. You can't buy firewood because, yeah, the cost of energy is so high, the cost of electricity is so high, they are pushing people to a breaking point. It's deliberate. It's deliberate.
Glenn,
they're funding
that
all
up, that's, it's deliberate. That brings up a thought in my mind. You know, in many cities, many states, they've instituted the electronic control over your thermostats. In fact, in some states, all new homes, parts of California, all new homes have to be built. So the local electric agency, the local utility company, controls your thermostat. You as the homeowner cannot control it. It's controlled. As a result of that, there's some places now, so they're turning the thermostats down or turning the thermostats up, depending on the weather, and in some cases, turning the thermostats completely off, where the homeowner has no control on the heat, air conditioning, or the freezing or the scorching in the home. That's part of the plan. And how does that fit into what you see as the electric vehicles and what is called the geofencing, where they can control where you go, how long you stay, and what you do as far as your travel? They're controlling our electrical power. They'll control the electric vehicles. And I'm told, Glenn, that with most of the electric vehicles today, that they can be shut off, turned on, turned off electronically without you knowing it from a satellite. What are your thoughts and what's your knowledge on that?
That's actually not a new idea. If you have OnStar in your vehicle, for years, the law enforcement agencies have had access to that. If it was a stolen car or maybe someone that was missing, mentally ill, endangered, they could ping the location of that vehicle. The officer on the radio and connected to OnStar could have them remotely flash the brake lights. The driver's completely unaware. To identify this is the right vehicle, and upon initiating a traffic stop, felony traffic stop, or trying to locate the missing or endangered person, they can shut the vehicle down and lock the doors. You're stuck until OnStar unlocks it at the request of law enforcement to let you out. All right, that's a gas-powered or diesel-powered vehicle. I think Toyota's got a different name for it. They don't call it OnStar. I don't know if it's Starlink or something, but it's a Toyota narrative of the same thing. But the control of your fuel, your food, your health care, and access to your money, the currency, or whatever they want to call it. Well, it's not money. They got you. And it was a slow fence section at one time, each time a little section of fence going around. And there's free corn in the middle because there's incentives and all sorts of things to get you in the pen, and then the gate shuts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, initially, people will go bananas that they're stuck. And then they go, well, you know, the corn's free. And that's where they got us. They've been luring us into the trap, slowly putting up sections of fence, and eventually the gate will shut and you're stuck. And you can't get out of the system that's been made for you. It's a trap. Yeah. It's a cage.
Glenn, would you consider, because you said the fuel and the food and the money, I call it the fuel, the food, and the finances, would you consider the digital currency that's on the market about to go full-fledged across America, would you consider that a control factor on people, or is it something that's convenient? I've read dozens of articles about that subject, and it's being carried out on the basis of, look how wonderful it'd be, it'd make your life easier with your financial transactions at the speed of light, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Talk with us about that for a moment, about the new digital currency. what it is, what it is not, what it will do, and will it control us, and will it have a great control on Christians and conservatives?
Well, absolutely. If they can turn the money on and off, then they can determine who you can send money to, receive money from. Hey, just look back a year or two ago where I believe it was PayPal. PayPal, someone was collecting money to help somebody in a conservative race or someone that had been an outspoken conservative, and PayPal seized the money. I believe they did the same thing in Canada for the truckers. All yep. money donated was seized. The bank accounts were frozen if you gave any money to that cause. And people were like, what is this? And Canada briefly had a run on some of the banks because people realized right then, hey, I'm out of control of my money. They can turn it on and they can turn it off. And that was just locking down a bank. When it's digital and you can't even put your hands on physical currency, yeah, that's a problem. It will affect everything. Hey, if you've never been to never been somewhere and tried to get your credit card to work, I don't know why, but at Walmart, apparently hate me. I don't know. I'm not picking on Walmart, but I'll get there and it won't work. I don't know if it's me or if it's the machine, but I can go over to their ATM and the $2.50 fee, it works every time. And then I can come back and give them cash. I don't know what you're going to do if the credit card system and or the digital system is frozen. You're locked out. Sometimes it's just a bad credit card. Sometimes they put a fraud alert on your account because you don't realize it's been compromised. Or, hey, even with Vistar, I'd gone out of the city to do something, bought a tank of gas, came back, tried to buy something, and I couldn't. Had to call Vistar, and they said, well, it wasn't your normal spending pattern. We thought maybe it was fraud. And I'm like, what? Okay, well, do I have to tell you when I'm going to go somewhere? I'm not kidding. Vistar wanted to know if I was going to be traveling. That way, they would not put a fraud alert on my account and stop my credit card, my ATM card. Mm. Wow. Now digitize everything and let the feds have control of it. Well, nothing bad can happen here, right? Yeah.
That's the point, Glenn.
The man, said it's not paranoia really out to get you.
you touched on it. I'm looking at the headline. It says, banks attack on a renowned vaccine skeptic includes shutting down all of his accounts. And it goes on to talk about an old-time banking corporation has launched an attack on the vaccine skeptic, Joseph Marcola, by closing his business accounts. And it goes into great detail because he had written a book about telling the truth about COVID-19 and the likelihood that the virus was engineered in a laboratory, paid for by the NIH, et cetera, et cetera. Because he had written the book challenging the veracity of what the feds say about COVID and the truth, they shut his accounts down, his business account, his personal account, his wife's account. And I've read article after article after article where the Bank of America has been doing that now for the past year and a half to 2 years. If you go against what they deem to be the policy that they hold to, they'll shut your account down. So, Glenn, we're talking about the future tense of where we're going in America that's going to mitigate against Christians and conservatives. So in the last minute that we have, take a moment and share with our listeners how the conservatives and Christians need to respond to all of these things that we see taking place.
Well, when you look at the Ephesians text, and it talks about putting on the whole armor of God and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, a shield of faith, a sword of truth. And then at the end, it says that you may be able to stand. Mm-hmm. If Christians would just take a stand, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. If they would just take a stand, the devil would pick on somebody else. But we need to not just take a stand physically by showing up. We need to open our mouths and say something about it.
Amen.
Even if we have to send off letters to representatives, senators, congressmen, let them know. Hey, and we vote. We vote with our feet and our pocketbooks. If there's an organization like Bank of America that is demonizing conservatives and Christians, get your money out of that bank and put it somewhere else, okay? And I'm not saying you should just run from every bank, but you got to have it somewhere. But if you already
Absolutely.
Know that they're squeezing Christian conservatives, get away from them. Vote
Absolutely.
With your money. Good. Don't support people who don't support Christian principles.
Amen. Good advice, Glenn. Glenn, thank you for taking time to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM.